Hello, and welcome to the best of Things That Go Bump in the Night. This is JC Bratton coming to you live from San Jose, California. Tonight, I have a very special guest. His name is Henry Carhart. He's an up-and-coming young adult sci-fi and fantasy author. His upcoming novel, Project Impossible, is not only action-packed, but it also addresses real issues that teens face, such as depression, emotional abuse, gender identity, and religion. I had the honor of being a beta reader for his novel, and all I can say is, wow. You would not believe that Henry began writing the story at age 16. Let's learn a little bit more about Henry and why he decided to write fiction. Henry, welcome to Things That Go Bump in the Night.
Thank you for having me, JC.
So first, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where did you grow up? Who influenced you? And what really got you into fiction writing?
So I grew up in San Jose, California. I never really moved out of the house I'm in now. So as a kid, I had a very active imagination, and I would like play out stories with like Legos, like action figures, and I would like have them fight each other or like sneak onto like an enemy spaceship or like do all kinds of like things I would see in movies, basically. And like I would have them like go on these like epic adventures and whatever, and so from a very young age I was telling stories without even really knowing that I was a storyteller and how powerful that would eventually be. I mean, when I like started writing like pencil on paper, it was sixth grade, so I was being bullied a lot, and so the bullying started in fifth grade, but it didn't really like affect me emotionally as much as it did in sixth grade. In fifth grade, there was this like group of mean girls who would pretend like I was like some kind of like monster. Like that, like everything I touched was like toxic to them for some reason. Like they would literally scream at the top of their lungs and run away, as if their life depended on it. Whenever I was around, and it just made me feel very lonely. But in fifth grade, I had like a really close friend, he was my best friend, but then he went to a different middle school. So in sixth grade, I didn't really have anyone, at least not at the start. I fell into a really deep depression because of the bullying. And like, I was mocked, teased, people tried to trip me in the hallways. There was just like, I was just like sad all the time, and like I didn't really care that much about continuing to live, basically. So I started writing, and so the first thing I ever wrote was a fan fiction for Star Wars Episode 8. And I like to brag about this. It's a little off topic, but like, I like to brag about this. So there's a line in Episode 7, The Force Awakens, where a very evil character says, "If Skywalker returns, if the last Jedi returns, the new Jedi will rise." And my fan fiction of Episode 8, I started writing this very soon after, maybe like a month after The Force Awakens came out. I called it The New Jedi, and I like to brag because they called Episode 8 The Last Jedi, which is from the same sentence as this character who said, "If the last Jedi returns, the new Jedi will rise." Anyway, I wrote that because I was still kind of grieving, spoilers, Han Solo's death. So I wanted Han Solo to be brought back to life. So that was like one of the first things I did in that story. I don't really remember much else besides the fact that I did write my own title crawl for it. But yeah, anyway.
Yeah, I think a lot of us felt that way about Han Solo, but it was really great to hear that you really took a lot of solace in writing. And, you know, again, I'm really sorry about what happened to you when you were so young. But let's talk a little bit more about your influences. Let's start a little bit more in that gaming side. So how did you get into that?
In June 2016, got access to YouTube for the first time. on my mom's iPhone 4. I started getting into like gaming content and like watching people play video games. And that inspired me to make my own YouTube channel. And I called it Super Gamer. Then I started seventh grade in August of 2016. I don't remember if I was writing anything during like the first month or so, but I think it was October 13th or somewhere in the teens of October, where I just wrote about this character named Henry Parhart, myself, and he just went on this like really cool adventure, and he became known as a superhero. He called his superhero name became Super Gamer. That became a whole thing. Like that has filed into this now 500 page book, which I'm working hard with JC to get published sometime in 2024. I'll get to that eventually. I wrote this little book, handwritten. It was like maybe 6 to 10 pages, like notebook pages. My friend at the time, who I had like only started to get to know towards the end of sixth grade, his name is Zechariah, but we like everyone in my friend group called him a Zek or a Zach. He was an artist, and I was like, I really want a drawing of Super Gamer. And so he drew Super Gamer, and it was of the Super Gamer, the Henry character, in his superhero suit. The only problem was that when I colored it in, he gave it to me uncolored. And when I colored it in, I made his suit blue and red, which was the colors of Superman. I eventually learned that Super Gamer just felt like a total ripoff of Superman. I eventually changed the colors to his suit is now green and black. And it has like a video game controller on the chest. How Superman has an S, Spider-Man has a spider, and Super Gamer has a game controller. I used my book, or my stories, whatever you want to call them, as a way to cope with what I was dealing with. I eventually started seeing Henry, the character, as a better, like the best version of myself. So in 2018 to 2019, I went to a high school called Westmont High School for a year. It wasn't a very good place for me, but I mean, I do not regret that year one bit. I didn't really learn much that year, but my writing, it really developed to a point that I don't think I could have gotten it to that point if I had gone to where I graduated from Denali High School one year before. If instead of going to Westmont, I had gone to Denali, I wouldn't have such an amazing story. I met some amazing people there. That was the year that Henry's suit color finally changed. I met someone who I think now goes by Hamada, and they told me that having blue and red is just way too typical. That color combination is used by a lot of superheroes. I took a picture of my Xbox controller that was plugged into my computer at the time. I sent it to them, and they said green and black is great because it was a green and black controller. And they were like, yeah, that's great. We'll do green and black. And then they were adding all these extra ideas like, oh, what if the suit has a hood? What if he has a utility belt? They really showed me that I could like really get creative with it. I don't have to be like so attached to one idea and one way of making characters.
Yeah, that's really interesting about how the Super Gamer suit evolved. And obviously you have a very strong passion for comic books. And of course, I know that you are heavily influenced by Stan Lee. So tell us a little bit about that.
When I started looking to Stan Lee as my inspiration, just like hearing the things he, there's like some, the inspirational quotes he has, and like how he talks about writing and how he sees himself as a writer, it was so inspirational. Just him talking about, hearing him talk about superheroes, it was always just, it was pretty heartwarming. he has a quote that I love putting in everything. It was my senior quote for when I graduated high school a few months ago. Previously, at some time, like maybe a year or two ago, it was in my Instagram bio. I put it everywhere because I just love this quote so much. He said, "If you have an idea that you genuinely think is good, don't let some idiot talk you out of it." And that is also the quote that I put at the beginning of Project Impossible, because I'm never going to let some idiot talk me out of doing what I love, which is writing.
Okay, now that we know a little bit more about your background and your influences and some basics about some of the main characters, tell us a little bit more about the story itself. Of course, you know, at a high level, spoiler free.
Project Impossible is, I always say it's much more than just another superhero story. And I feel like my book really has a lot of hidden meanings that modern Marvel movies and DC movies don't really touch on. So on the surface, it has everything you would need in a sci-fi fantasy story. It has gods, goddesses, space battles, you name it. But like below that, there is also a lot of exploration with like the characters' thoughts, their emotions, the way they go about with their daily lives, and the effects that depression and anxiety has on them. Characters also, they make mistakes, and they have to come to terms with those mistakes. We see the impacts that abuse can have on children and teens. The book has a lot of real today topics that like need to be discussed that definitely aren't discussed enough. Things like abuse, bullying, mental health struggles, self-harm, suicide, and the list goes on.
You state in the novel's intro that this story is loosely based on true events. What part or parts of the story or what ideas and topics are based on real events? And of course, keep that at a high level.
I'm considering anything that happens in the prologue, chapter one and chapter two, to not be a spoiler. I mentioned earlier that I had a friend named Zek who eventually I added him into the story as a character named Zach, and he's been there since I think 2017, like the very, very beginning. So Zach, he's overweight. He struggles with that a lot. He struggles with his body image, how he sees himself, and his relationship with food, which is, I mean, those are all things I've struggled with. When I was writing it, it was very, very truthful, because I was speaking from my own experiences. That's like towards the beginning, when Henry gets his powers and he flies to Zach's house to like for his help. Because Zach is like the nerdy friend who knows like all about comics and everything. Henry finds that Zach has been smoking marijuana. They have a talk about it, and Zach says that he's struggling at school because his PE teacher basically discriminates against him because he has a bigger body. And so that is definitely something I've dealt with, like not to that extreme, but like I have, PE teachers have made comments about my weight before, so it's like it is definitely something I can relate to. Not long after that, in chapter two, Henry meets Stephen Cloudfree, who is a genius billionaire, creator, inventor, who has a suit. I'm trying not to describe him like Iron Man, but he is like the team's Iron Man. He has all those, he's not like as arrogant as Tony Stark. Stephen meets Henry. Stephen asks him, "Do you feel safe at home?" Henry says, "A little bit, but not really. That's why I ran away." He ran away from home. Like, Stephen sits down with him in like a muddy barn. They're like in like a muddy barn. He's like wearing this like expensive suit, and he doesn't care that he's getting it dirty. He sits down with Henry, and they just have a talk about how Henry went through all this bullying, and the house that he just ran away from is the house that he had to come back to every single day after experiencing all that bullying. He says almost word for word what I said about my experience. There was a group of mean girls who saw him and treated like everything he touched was toxic, and they screamed and ran away from him whenever he was around, and it made him feel alone. Like, that is literally said in the book in that scene when he meets Steven. That's another very real scene where when I was writing it, it was just my truth, my experiences, and what I went through. And it's not that extreme. It's not like I think of the house I've been in since I was a baby. Like, the house I'm in right now is, like, cursed. But, like, that's how it is to him, basically. Like, he's much more traumatized by it. And I can definitely see how I was lucky to not be as traumatized. I mean, I still think about getting bullied every day, but, like, he's definitely way more traumatized than I am. There's a lot of just real stuff just everywhere. Like, but there is a character who it identifies as biromantic and bisexual, and she has a homophobic father. Like, they do not get along at all. Tells her all kinds of things like, that's not how God designed your body to be used. Like, that's not how God designed you. I feel like that's a very real thing nowadays. Related, I don't want to get into politics, but people use religion to justify homophobia and blatant hate. There's a lot that I think people can relate to.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of those topics are heavily relatable, not only just to teens, but also adults as well. Now, I've read your story, and I know there are, you know, a lot of intense topics. And of course, we've alluded to some of these already, depression, emotional abuse. So what was it like to write a story about such heavy emotional themes? And what do you hope that the readers can take away from it?
Well, it was definitely interesting. Like, when I was writing about my own bullying, it definitely brought back some memories I would have preferred to forget. It wasn't all negative. I did feel a sense of, like, yeah, that happened, and now I'm here today, and I'm doing this. I'm doing what I love so much, and I wouldn't be here today if I hadn't gone through that. I'm living well now, living a good life. I wish I had known back then that it would get better, and I'm glad that I didn't end my life, because I wouldn't have this today. Some scenes with heavier topics have made me cry while writing, and made others cry while reading.
I definitely cried. I can vouch for that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not saying that crying, like, I don't want to make people cry, but, like, knowing that my story is, like, powerful enough to make someone cry, that is, it's kind of rewarding to know that, like, my book went from, like, it was just, like, a bunch of fight scenes, like, back in, like, 2018-ish, it was just a bunch of fight scenes. There was never really any, like, personal, like, growth to any of the characters. And knowing that now my book is strong enough, like, the words are strong enough to make someone actually feel powerful emotions, that's very rewarding. I hope readers can read it and feel more willing to open up more about their trauma to their friends and or families. They don't have to. It is definitely the kind of book that, like, you finish it and you're like, wow, that's powerful. Like, you kind of, like, just, I just want to go hug someone. And maybe spread the word, spread joy to someone who might be in a bad place, and tell them that it's not the end.
Yeah, exactly. That's very, very powerful messaging throughout the story. And I really do hope that people really can take something away from it. I know I did. Now, what is your ultimate goal with Project Impossible?
Well, I don't know where it's going. If it blows up and gets thousands of readers, that's great. That's a dream come true. But if not, that's okay too. I'm fine with either, really. Like, it's still, I'm still doing what I love. I'm not doing it for fame or money. I just want to spread a good message. I mean, I've daydreamed about turning it into a TV show or a movie, but like that's probably very far in the future. I'm really fine with anything. I've also thought about turning it into a comic series, but yeah, like that's basically it.
When do you plan on having the story ready for publication? Are there going to be multiple parts as well? And I know here at Blue Milk Publishing, we're working with you on actually publishing and releasing the book series. So tell us a little bit more.
I hope to get published by sometime next year, late 2024, early 2025 at the very, very latest. The book will be split into two volumes. JC, you and I discussed if it would be two separate books or one big book. I am really fine with either. Right now, I learned recently that my mom can hire a professional editor to work on the book with me. Her boyfriend Colin is also a writer, and he had this professional editor work on his book with him. So I'm hoping to have that same professional editor. And yes, I do want Blue Milk to be my publisher.
Yeah, that'll be really great if you can get the professional editor, because it's really good to have as many set of eyes as possible. And yeah, totally. We're really excited at Blue Milk to be able to go ahead and publish your work. Now, from what I understand, though, you're already planning a sequel. So give us some high-level details about that.
All I will say is that you can be sure to expect new villains, lots of new characters, and new places to be explored. Relationships, of course, will develop further, and I'm just planning on expanding upon things that works in the first book and seeing where that leads me.
We just have a few more questions left here. So, Henry, are you going to stay in the genre of sci-fi fantasy, or have you thought about writing in other genres?
I've thought about branching off to different genres, but I just think sci-fi and fantasy works best for the story I want to tell, unless you count comic book as a different genre, because I've dreamed of it becoming a comic series since the beginning.
Yeah, for sure. I can definitely see this turning into a comic series. And, well, Henry, you're 19 now, still very much young in your career, but what is next for you personally? You know, you've just graduated from high school. You've got this book coming up. So what can we expect next from Henry Carhart?
Well, I'm currently taking a gap year, going to work towards my driver's license. I want to do more book-related things. I want to finish my internship with Blue Milk. I just want to get my first job, possibly. And then I'll start community college, I think, in September of 2024.
Thank you very much, Henry, for sharing all these details about Project Impossible. Again, I've read it, and I think it's a really awesome story. And we're wondering, is there anything else you would like to share with the audience before we leave?
I mean, I just want to give a shout out to everyone who has made this possible, all my closest friends, and all the ones who have even listened to read, like, even just a snippet of the book. Zek, Ogis, Victor, Kai, Daniel, Hazel, Maladin, Chris, and Kirby, you know who you are. Thank you. And other than that, I think that's it. Project Impossible is coming soon.
Thanks again, Henry, for sharing your writing journey. Blue Milk Publishing is so excited to have you on board as an author. And thank you to our listeners. Until next time.